YPG's desert rats tested weapons of war so they'd work when soldiers' lives depended on them. Thousands of veterans walk the earth today thanks to their work. After decades of service, all that's left is testament. Desert Rat Testament is a monthly anthology that collects the stories and recollections of retired Yuma Proving Ground employees of decades-long service. Hello, I'm Mark Schauer. David Horn grew up on a farm in Minnesota. His father had given up a college scholarship to take over the family farm and wanted all of his sons to go to college. He earned a degree in mechanical engineering and worked in private industry in Minneapolis before arriving at Yuma Proving Ground in 1985. How did you end up testing vehicles at Yuma Proving Ground?
Well, I grew up in Minnesota, and after I got out of college, I went to work for this company in Minneapolis that essentially made large air filtration systems, mufflers, mostly for the ag market, over highway trucks. Anyway, I went to work for them in their aircraft and military division. So all of a sudden, I found myself designing air filtration systems and mufflers for military tanks, helicopters, aircraft. And anyway, it was an interesting job. I worked there for 7 years. And in the process of supporting all of these projects, I would fly all over the United States, visiting all these different companies. And of course, coming from Minnesota, everybody has an escape plan to try to get out. Wherever I would go, I would kind of check out the area and decide, you know, if I'd want to work there someday. Well, anyway, one of the places I visited a lot was Yuma Proving Ground. They had a lot of developmental programs at the time on the M1 tank, Bradley's. My first project was even on an old M60. I worked on that Sergeant York vehicle that's parked out in front of the visitor center. You know, wow. I think you're getting old when the stuff that you designed is now in a museum. but anyway, in all my visits to Yuma, I discovered that they had some job openings in the tank automotive division. So anyway, in 1985, I applied for and was offered a job. And so, as I say, with a rusty Nova and a couple thousand bucks, my wife and I headed west and we moved to Yuma.
So when you started working at Yuma Proving Ground, you were testing vehicles.
Right. It was kind of interesting that I was testing vehicles that I'd actually worked on the development on years before. And since I worked for a company that made air cleaners, I immediately got stuck on places like the dust course and stuff like that, where I was testing that kind of thing.
And during your career testing vehicles, you developed some new test methodologies.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. I think a little example to explain what happened was like in most people's cars, there's a little display on the dash that tells them what their gas mileage is. Well, if you take your car and you drive 300 miles and you put in 10 gallons, it's pretty easy to estimate you're getting around 30 miles to the gallon. But what if you looked on the dash and your car said you were getting 200 miles to the gallon? Well, obviously something's wrong with the instrumentation or the computer, whatever. So when I started looking into stuff that was happening on the dust course, I realized that there was just something wrong with our instrumentation. So I basically worked to develop a new style of instrumentation so that it more accurately measures the performance of the system, so that you know you're getting a real world number. Specifically, it was to measure the dust concentration, how many grams in each cubic foot of air. Anyway, we developed this in the 1990s, and it's the same stuff that the PED Lab uses today.
Wow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you had two separate stints at YPG. Your first stint, you were there 10, 12 years, and then you went back to the private sector?
My wife and I moved down here in 1985, and it was kind of like we looked at it as kind of like an extended vacation. We had two kids, and they were growing up, and we thought, you know, at some point, we just need to go back and raise our kids. We had a a lake lot in Minnesota, and it was kind of our dream that we'd raise the kids on the lake. And so after 10 years in Yuma, we just kind of packed up, and we were going to essentially go back and raise our kids on the lake. But what kind of caught us by surprise was just how much Minnesota had changed in the 10 years that we had been gone. And especially from the standpoint of the economy, there was when we moved back in 1997, it was much harder to get an engineering degree because of the amount of outsourcing companies were moving to places overseas. And so it was kind of a struggle. There were good things about going, but there were bad things. And I have to say that one of the big surprises was that those 11 years that I was in Yuma stripped me of my winter coping skills. And so even though I'm up in Minnesota and my friends are taking me ice fishing, and I had this really cool two-stage snowblower, I just never liked winter, you know, after that. And so anyway, after struggling in Minnesota, I had two jobs that went out from under me due to outsourcing. Companies closed and moved overseas. After that happened, and then ended up divorce, it was like, you know what, I'm going back to Yuma. I'm going to go back to where I want to be. And so then I moved back in 2007.
When you came back in 2007, you weren't testing vehicles anymore. You were working for Nacotech.
When I made a decision to come back to YPG, basically the biggest effort at the time where they needed the most people was an organization called Nacotech, which is, they kind of since then evolved into today's electronic warfare branch. But they needed a lot of people. They were testing a lot of cutting edge stuff as soon as possible. So yeah, I went from, you know, just the a manufacturing environment into this fast-paced group where they're working a lot of overtime trying to get stuff tested as soon as possible. One of the ways I like to describe it to people is we were testing cutting-edge stuff. Imagine, Mark, the year is 1900, and you and your friend are sitting on two horses at an intersection in New York City, and you're sitting there on your horses, and all of a sudden a little car puts by. And you turn to your friend and you remark, "Wow, I just think we saw the future." And your friend might respond back, "Wow, Mark, I think that thing may change the way we live our lives." Well, anyway, working on the YPG test ranges for EW, we had those kind of experiences every day where we saw these cutting edge technologies. And you could just wonder, like, wow, you know, what's the world going to be when that thing matures or whatever, whatever. So it was testing a lot of really interesting stuff. And again, it was hardware basically to save the lives of the troops, again, from an electronic standpoint, jammers and this kind of stuff. And so
you must have gotten a lot of personal satisfaction of the things that Nacotech was testing might have ended up in theater that same week.
Exactly right. And sometimes we tested something that didn't work out all that well. You know, again, these were, you know, right off the drawing board. They were prototypes. But if something didn't work, you wanted to make sure that it didn't end up in theater, that it had time to go back and be improved. But you're exactly right. You know, and I think that you know, all of YPG was in such a you know, a hurried effort to again try to do whatever they could to save lives you know, in the field at that time.
I mean, you had a distinguished career as an engineer and test officer, but so far as the bulk of the YPG workforce was concerned, you were probably more famous for an extracurricular activity you did. You wrote a column for The Outpost for many years called Shooting the Breeze.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. Back in the 80s, The Outpost had this, they started an effort to get more people to write stuff from around the proving ground. And so each division chief was ordered to come up with somebody in their division that would write articles for The Outpost. And at the time, my boss kind of told me I was going to be the guy to write for the division. And so anyway, I remember they wanted kind of technical articles about, you know, what's all everybody doing. But I told my boss, I'd like to do the job, but could you just give me one concession? I said, I wanted to write more general interest stuff. I wanted to write articles that, you know, no matter if you were the colonel or you were somebody in the far corners of the proving ground, that there would be something in each article that you could kind of identify with. And I know that, you know, there's a lot of writing styles for military publications. And I thought to myself, you know, I said, you know, can I write in kind of a folksy, you know, where somebody can read these things on their coffee break and kind of, you know, bring a smile to their face. And so, so anyway, I started writing these things, and what I loved to do was just take some aspect of life around YPG and, you know, bend it and twist it and then hand it back to people on a platter. You know, every article was intended to just, you know, take a little bit of YPG and poke a little fun at it, you know, within the lines. I mean, obviously, you know, it's not going to get published if the colonel doesn't like it. So, you know, you've got limits. But I did that for many years and really enjoyed it. And like you said, you know, because I usually worked in remote corners of YPG, more people knew me through those articles I wrote for the paper than what I did for my actual job. And so so anyway, that was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed it. You know, again, have to thank the outpost for giving me the opportunity to just have a little fun out there. And so, yeah, it's kind of funny. It's one of those things where, you know, every job, I think, is what you make it. And that was just an interesting sideline that added a lot of enjoyment to coming out to the place. And I think I got way more rewards from doing it than you guys can imagine. So yeah, it was fun.
And it was popular enough that you resurrected it during your second stint at YPG.
Yeah, you know, it was kind of funny. I had kind of a funny story where I wrote the articles during my first tour and then I left for 10 years. And I remember even on my first days back at YPG, I would run into people and they would remember 10 years ago, oh man, you gotta do that again. And but again, I was working for you know, the test range, and we were putting in all these long hours, and I just didn't have the time to do it for, you know, after I'd been here for a couple of years. And so so anyway, yeah, and I got into it again actually because of you, Mark. I was visiting the Yuma County Fair, and you had that booth there, and in front of a whole bunch of my friends and family, you kind of shamed me into, Dave, you got to start doing that again. And so that was back, I think it was about 2014, 2015. And so I started doing it again. One of the things that I think about YPG is that a lot of people, they go to work and they kind of do what they have to do. They, you know, they get the job done. But sometimes I think that when you go above and beyond, when you put in a little bit of extra effort that people appreciate, you know, it, you know, not only helps the organization, but it helps you.
You retired in 2019. Do you still keep up with what YPG is doing today?
Well, actually, pretty much the only contact I have with YPG is through reading the Outpost, and then you know, every so often you guys will have an article in the local Yuma paper. And so not that much. When I retired from YPG, I started running around with YPG retirees who left just before I did. So when I retired, I pretty much just started hanging out with all those people doing retirement things. And so pretty not too much. It's one of those things where like a lot of retirees, we remain immensely proud of our careers at YPG. But at the same time, you know, when we retire, we close one chapter and open a new one. And so to be honest with you, I've been so darn busy, I haven't really had time to think about, you know, too much else. I still am a member of my car club. I belong to about four or five social organizations with weekly meetings. And so I'm trying to get back into old hobbies. I used to do, trying to relearn how to play the piano as an example. But I got to admit that retirement is, it's like every day is Saturday, and I'm enjoying it a lot. And so like I said, I remain very proud of my years at YPG, but at the same time, I've got this whole new thing on my horizon that's fun, and so I'm kind of going off in a new direction, and I'm excited about that. Yeah.
You mentored a lot of young engineers during your career. For the folks that came on after you left, do you have any advice you'd share?
Well, I think one of the things that I ran into with all the people that I mentored that were like right out of college is that although they may be a college graduate, I don't think they took a class called YPG 101. You come to YPG with a lot of basic understanding on a broad range of issues, but YPG is very specific, a lot of what happens out here. And what I always try to tell the new people is that at YPG, there are a lot of people that have been experts in their field for many, many years. Please go out there, and when you're running an effort, talk to these people, listen to them, and leverage their expertise. No matter what you do around YPG, there are people that can help you. And so I always encouraged people to try to actively reach out those around, the people around you, and listen to them. You're going to grow as a person, and it's also going to greatly improve the chances of success of your program. Treat your employees with respect. You might be working with this guy for 30 years, and so I think it's important to develop a good working relationship with all the people every day. But anyway, I enjoyed my time at YPG. I met a lot of wonderful people out there that are trying every day to do the best job they can. And enjoy the ride. It's a good time. Enjoy the ride.
Dave Horn, thanks for visiting with us.
All right. Thank you very much, Mark. And one last thing about those young kids back there. I truly believe that YPG's in good hands.
For as long as the United States has a military, Yuma Proving Ground will be vital to the national defense. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time on The Testament.